Here we go, folks. It is exactly 4 o'clock on the afternoon on Wednesday, the 8th of September, 2021. This is our After School Book Club, show number 26. Good afternoon. And a very good afternoon to you.
You're listening to LearnRadio.net with Maria Wojciechowska-Kanida and Russell Prue.
And we're completely live across the planet this afternoon. We are in glorious Technicolor. Hello, I have worn my Technicolor top. Maria is looking good there as well. The show this afternoon is hosted by the fabulous Maria Wojciechowska-Kanida and me, Russell Prue. You'll find all our contact details on the show page. Just head to learnradio.net. You'll find everything there. We've got new things to talk about. We've got a new Instagram account, so you can pop on there and like us. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. In fact, we are everywhere. And people are always telling me, Russell, you are just about everywhere. You're absolutely right as well. Got a cracking new podcast website and all of our video materials nicely collected in one place on the website. Just go to learnradio.net. It's on the top there. Go to videocast if you want to watch any of our shows, or go to podcast if you want to download and take any of our radio shows away with you on your mobile device or listen in the car. It's really, really good. You won't get the copyright music again in the podcast. We're not allowed to do that. We've got some great music choices on the schedule. They have been approved by our guest du jour, I have to say. She's very keen, and that's some great music. I'll share that with you a little later on in the show. It's been a while. I think our last show, Marie, was back in July, wasn't it? My goodness.
I know. It's gone quick, but it's gone slow. It's just been lovely. And we're having a revitalisation of the summer, I see, outside.
Yes, it's jolly hot. We peaked at 30-something yesterday. It's a little cooler, 27 this afternoon, but it's a balmy 19 degrees. Freeze yourself in the studio here. It's just delightful. I may need a water bottle a little later on, but it's gorgeous, especially with all the equipment there as well. Folks, everything is on the show page. Just go to learnradio.net/Mort the Meek. It's a cracking read. Mort the Meek and the Raven's Revenge. Maria, we loved this one, didn't we?
Oh, it's just fabulous. I love the fact that it had a raven in it. And I was even, I know one of the questions we'll have, we'll talk to Rachel later on, talks about those ravens. I kind of read them in a kind of a caw. It was brilliant. Loved every second of it.
There's a lot of that. It is a very interesting book, folks, I have to say. It has a dark slapstick humour that really appeals to my enjoyment. I love the asides in it as well. I love it. They soften the kind of action in it, and it's going to appeal to a whole range of young people, and that's what it's all about. It is just absolutely brilliant. We're absolutely thrilled with this, and I think it's time to get her out, really, isn't it, from the green room, where she's been enjoying our hospitality, virtual snacks, which of course are calorie free, and she's been having lots of drinkies as well. Maria, would you like to announce our guest today?
Yes, listeners, you're in for a treat today. We have the fabulous, the wonderful, the Mort the Meek author, Rachel Delahaye.
And here she is, folks. There we are. It's like the Brady Bunch here as well. Rachel, how are you?
I'm very, very well. Thank you. Very excited to be here.
Excellent. Us too. We are thrilled to have you as well. You're a very busy author, and thank you so much indeed for squeezing us in. We are just absolutely delighted. It couldn't be better. And thanks very much for starting this off with us. We're just so pleased to have you. So thanks again as well. I wonder if you
It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Thank you.
And we're loving the on-brand headphone cable as well, on the orange. I think that's just stunning. And we'll talk to you more about stuff in your background there as well. Now, just tell us a little bit about yourself, if you can. We're particularly interested in the little animal rescue series as well. They're so cute.
Oh, they're adorable, aren't they? I was really lucky. I was actually asked to write those, and I couldn't have picked a more delightful topic. Researching animals and a whole variety of them about their environments and their natures. It was just exquisite. I loved it. I loved every moment.
We thought it was fabulous. Anyway, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? Where are you from?
Who am I? Rachel Delahaye. And I was originally born in Australia and then came over here when I was about six and had my formative years growing up in Oxford, which is a rather, rather delightful city. I have to say, I was very lucky indeed. And after Oxford, I travelled around a bit, actually, went to Wales, went back to Australia, travelled Europe, and finally settled down in Bath in the Southwest Country, which is just gorgeous.
Oxford to Bath. I mean, absolutely fantastic.
I know.
Well, at least you didn't say Bath anyway, which is still like, that's your Oxford. That's the Oxford impact on you as well.
Oxford.
Oh, bless you. It's so good. We like a well-travelled author, I have to say. It just helps enormously with the brand. I think Maria's got our first question today.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Russell. Now, listeners, don't forget, and viewers, that we're totally live today, and Rachel will be taking your questions throughout the show, and we'll have a live reading from her later on as well. So watch out for that and listen out for that. Now, everything you need to know is on the show page. Just head over to learnradio.net/MortTheMeek. And there you'll find our Padlets or Post-it note apps. Click on the pink circle with a plus key. Pop your name, first names only, please, folks, unless you're an adult. Then click on the box below and write your question. And when you're ready, click on the background and we'll approve it for the show. And yes, we have our first question, Russell, haven't we?
Have indeed. Just looking at that now. Thank you so much. And we've got some listeners as well. We'll read your comments out in just a moment. Thank you very much, Maria. Great. Really good. Now, Rachel, each chapter starts with the raven speaking. We thought this was terribly clever and absolutely amazing. You can almost imagine the crawling of the... And I can hear that as I kind of... It's genius. It's absolutely sheer genius. How on earth... the ravens are ravenous. I love it. Love it. It's so funny as well. Why did you choose this bird?
I've got no idea, actually. I think I was starting to write Brutalia and just playing around with the setting of Brutalia. Obviously, it's quite dingy and dark and has undertones of horror. And so I think the raven was the natural bird to have circling the towers, and obviously then it extended to circling humans and looking for eyeballs. So the raven was the natural choice, I think, for a horrible setting. How they appeared at the beginning of the chapters, I have no recollection. I think they just started speaking. And interestingly, when I started writing Mort the Meek, it wasn't about ravens at all, but because they were so vocal in my head, it became about the raven's revenge. And so when I started writing it, I didn't actually know the story. I just knew the premise. I knew about Mort and I knew the awful setting of Brutalia. And it wrote itself and the ravens became center stage. So yeah.
Just absolutely
wonderful.
Love it. We've just thoroughly enjoyed it enormously. So, and I just love that. That's what we're talking about there, folks. So there's the kind of the start there. And there's this ravens, this dialogue there. Now, we've seen that before with folks have used mobile phones and countdowns to something. That's worked terribly well like this. But I love you've given them such characters.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And also
their conversations also hint to what's going to happen in the chapter as well, or it reflects what's just happened. So, yeah, they're very much a part of it. Yeah.
Very clever indeed. There's an award there, I think, a Raven Award as well.
And I wish.
Perhaps another model of the one that's behind you as well. We'll ask about that a bit later on. Maria, another question from you.
Thank you very much, Russell. Now, the writing is absolutely gorgeous, Rachel. I really enjoyed it where you use this imagery of the dark grey sea that spat out like a badly behaved child. I've certainly come across some of those sometimes.
Yes.
What's your experience of being on seas like this? Have you ever been on an ocean where it's spitting out?
Well, I have actually, when I was very, very young, been in a very choppy sea where our boat went missing, I think, for a few days. Yeah, it was crossing over from Italy to Israel when I was very, very little. And I remember how awful it was. And we weren't allowed outside on the decks. We had to stay in and we were in the belly of this boat, which was just lunging and being thrown and vomited around. It was revolting. And I've still got quite a clear vision of what a nasty sea looks like. And I get seasick myself. So that, you know, I can conjure all that horribleness so quite easily.
So it must have been quite a scary experience, Rachel.
Yeah, I mean, I was 6 or 7. So the kind of details of it, I don't really understand, but I do remember the general malaise, the general kind of illness and kind of feeling of uncertainty of what was going to happen. So, yeah, it was pretty nasty. Yeah.
So you're not a boat person now. You wouldn't go back on a boat. No, thank you.
Not really, no. Oh,
thank you very much. Now, Rusty, you've got a question for Rachel about the rations. We do like food on the show, don't we?
We do love food. We love a biscuit or a hot chocolate or something. We love the rations as well. I just think it's getting a bit like the travel show now. I loved it as well. Really good. Other forms of travel are not available there. Now, do you think the measly rations there, Rachel, in Brutalia contributed to the misery of the land? It kind of painted this really, everyone is hangry, and that's a lovely term. We thought it was fabulous. We wondered how that was coined, and have you ever been hangry yourself?
Constantly hangry, even when I'm not actually hungry. I just, you know, I like food, so if I don't have it, I get hangry. I think I just wanted Brutalia to be a completely ungiving island. So it just didn't give anything. It didn't give delight. It didn't give a nice architecture. It didn't give nice people. And it certainly didn't give food, which is one of life's luxuries for some and enjoyment for others. So I think that's why food plays such a big part of it. Also, Mort is a vegetarian. So it's nice contrast with the fact that people will eat anything they can get their hands on, including rats. And then he has this extra stumbling block of being a vegetarian. So, yeah. Yeah, so it's an important way of well, it was a very good way of describing the nastiness of the land there, I think.
And it's nicely, and I hear you there, I have to say, and it nicely differentiates, I think, him from his surroundings and his habitat and his environment. Very clever. A nice little vehicle as well. You very kindly agreed to read for us today, and we are absolutely thrilled. Yeah. Let us know what you're going to read from so we can all follow through with the book, because I know some of our fabulous listeners, like KC and the rest of the gang, will all be flicking through their books as well. I know, really, oh, bless you. Really fantastic. Good. So let us know what you're going to read from, and perhaps tell us why you've selected that chapter. Thank you, Rachel.
Okay, well, I'm going to start at chapter two. Chapter one is basically a illustration of Brutalia, so it's more about the landscape. So I'm going to go into chapter two, where we see how it is governed. So we see how Brutalia is governed, which of course probably sets the theme for how things are going to go for Mort. So we meet a few characters and we see how it's governed and we see what he's up against in chapter two, and then I might go on to chapter three as well. So I'm going to start by reading the ravens at the beginning. I think you two can probably do the raven's voices better than me now, actually.
No, I don't think we can. It's got to be you. We might have a go off microphone during the quiet bits, but thank you. Off you go. It's all yours, really.
Okay. All right. So chapter two is Raven Pie. And it starts off with one raven saying, "Would it hurt to try fruit?" And the other raven says, "It would hurt our image as the evil meat-ripping ravens of Brutalia. The evil apple-crunching birds doesn't have quite the same ring." There we are. It was the trial of Weed Millet, the baker's son, and the people of Brutalia were gathered in the square to witness it. When they were about to be horrible to someone, the king and queen made everyone watch. It was to keep the people on their toes, those whose toes hadn't been cut off, which was last month's non-death punishment of choice. Weed was on his knees at the feet of the royal couple. He was only 12, but his hard life made him look 13 and a half. As he was still a child and therefore not old enough to be given a death sentence, Weed was hoping his punishment would be no harsher than a spell of poo collecting. At worst, it would be the removal of his earlobes, which was this month's non-death punishment of choice, and not so bad, unless he liked wearing earrings. Weed widened his beautiful chocolatey eyes at the royals, hoping they would see his innocence and think twice about doing something nasty. But the queen's face was pinched, and the king's potato face gave nothing away, probably because it was bloated from a life of fatty foods and sluggishness. Too lazy to talk, he hardly ever said a word. The queen, however, was very vocal, and she was also in a terrible mood. The king had spent the morning trying to kiss her, utterly revolting. "If you were a child," she said, "I might consider making my punishment not death." "I am a child," Weed said. "I'm only 12. You can ask the scribe." Unfortunately, at that very moment, Scribe Pockle, keeper of birth certificates and legal documents, was in prison and missing one finger for spilling ink on the queen's carpet. "Poppycock, I don't need Scribe Pockle to tell me. You look 13 and a half and not a day younger. Under Brutalia's laws, that makes you a grown man, and that is my final word." it clearly wasn't going to be her final word. She never stopped talking. Weed opened his mouth to protest. "Someone stop this fool from whimpering," the Queen snapped. "Now!" A guard stepped forward and growled menacingly at Weed, the baker's son, making him whimper. "He's still making noises!" "Sorry, Your Majesty," the guard said, bowing frantically to show how sorry she was. But the Queen was not amused. "Someone take this guard to the tower," she ordered, clicking her fingers. "Why am I being sent to the tower?" "Because you're annoying." "Is it a crime to be annoying?" the guard asked carefully, hoping the answer would be no.
"No."
"Phew."
"But it is a crime to ask if it's a crime to be annoying," the Queen said. "I just made that up. Rather good, isn't it?"
She clicked her fingers again and the guard was gone, taken to the tower to await her fate. The Queen cast an eye over the crowd gathered in the square to see if there were any whispers of, "Give her a break! Bad show! And that's not very fair!" But the crowd wanted to live, so not one of them said or did anything. The Queen, satisfied, turned back to the whimpering boy.
"Explain yourself," she said, stretching out her leg and kicking him on the nose. "Why did you trap one of Brutalia's royal ravens?"
"Let's get one thing clear. Before this point, they were simply ravens. Had they been royal ravens, the Queen might have fed them or popped little crowns on their heads, but they were scruffy and no one cared for them at all, which is why they had become so hungry that attacked Weed's fruit garden. One of the ravens had got tangled in the bird-proof netting. The flurry and panic that followed had alerted a guard, who had then alerted the Queen, who had decided there and then that the ravens were royal property and that the boy was in deep, deep trouble. Weed just hoped the Queen didn't punish him for growing his own fruit, which was also a crime.
"You've been growing your own fruit," she squealed.
"We're so hungry," the boy said. "Do you know what it's like to have a hunger that gnaws at your insides? Do you know what it's like to hear your little sister crying herself to sleep at night?"
"No."
Everyone knew the Queen didn't have a soft side, but anything was worth a shot.
"So you are growing fruit, hoping to lure my royal ravens so you could make a raven pie."
"I just wanted the fruit, actually," Weed said. "I never meant to catch a raven." The Queen threw her head back and gave a strange laugh, making her shoulders jig up and down to show that finally she was amused.
"Why wouldn't you want a raven for a pie? Don't you like pie?"
The way she said pie, drawn out and tempting, like a sigh, pie, made the hungry boy's mouth water.
"A raven and a pie? A raven pie? Are you telling me you wouldn't want pie? Well, pie," she said again for no reason. "I would, but pie. Yes, but pie!" He could take it no more. "Of course I'd love raven pie!" And the Queen shouted, "Punishable by death!"
The crowd wanted to gasp, but couldn't for obvious reasons. And the King, who had said nothing because he never did, belched as he changed position in his chair. For any ordinary citizen of Brutalia, belching in public could get you killed. Brutalia is not a fair place. That was the sad thought of a boy called Mort as he left the square that afternoon. All night he tossed and turned, haunted by the cruelty of the fate of his friend, Weed Millet. Nightmares washed over him in giant waves, and he hardly slept a wink. But at least you got to meet the main character. There we are.
Amazing. Amazing.
That was absolutely brilliant. I loved when you said pie. Pie. I actually want some pie now.
Yeah, it's very Monty Python, isn't it?
It's just absolutely fabulous. Thank you so, so much, Rachel,
it's a
for
pleasure.
Reading.
It's a
now,
pleasure.
We're back after this, folks, to chat more about this amazing book, Mort the Meek and the Raven's Revenge. Now, if you'd like to comment on the show or ask Rachel a question about the book, you've got a few moments to write on our show Padlet. Just head over to learnradio.net/Mort the Meek and you'll find today's show page and pop us a message on that Padlet. Just click on the pink circle and then put your first name in the top box with a question or a comment below. And when you're happy with it, just click on the background and we'll approve it. And here is our first music track for this term. It's a brilliant one. It's Randy Newman and You've Got a Friend in Me.
Oh, absolutely love that. 21 minutes past four, folks.
By far my favourite station.
You're the best.
Oh, yeah.
I love you guys.
This is Learn Radio Live.
Want to see some more of us? Head over and meet us on Instagram.
You certainly can, and that's our new service. Just look for us on Instagram. We are Learn Radio Live, or one word, Learn Radio Live. Now let's have a look on the website and see what you've been writing. Maria, what do you have that on the contact padlet?
Thank you very much, Russell. So Lorraine writes, good to be back listening to great authors. Another new book for me. Looking forward to hearing all about it. Well, it is a fabulous book, isn't it, Russell? We laugh so much.
Absolutely good. And Lorraine is a fellow author, looking forward to her latest book. And that's coming out a little later on this year. Thank you so much for that, Lorraine. Jazz is a long-term listener as well. Hope you had a great break there at Learn Radio. We certainly did. Thank you so much. We're looking forward to starting up with you again. Good luck this term. Well, thank you so much. That is really kind of you. And Maria, what do we have on the questions for Rachel page?
Thank you very much, Russell. So Lorena's got in touch again. She says, beautifully read, Rachel. Have you done an audiobook version? Oh, yes. What a great
good
idea.
Good question. Yes. Rachel, yours.
Yes, there is an audio. Not done by me, though. Done by an absolutely amazing actor called Glenn McCready. I think I'm saying his name right. Glenn McCready? McCready. I hope it's McCready. And he's got a really rich, fruity voice, so he can do all those voices very, very well. So, yes, there is an audiobook, and it's beautifully done. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I think you've got a rich, fruity voice anyway, and you could have saved a few pounds because it's very good. The crows are really good as well. What a lovely idea. Lorraine, that's a fabulous question. Thank you so much. Simon's been in contact again. Hello again. I'm playing your show to my book club year six group in the hall. My goodness. Thanks for another
Year six.
Yes. Hello. Excellent. We often forget about those because their last year is often quite fraught and packed with loads of stuff. But he's a really good fan of the show, and we often hear from Simon doing some cracking stuff there as well. Thank you so much. There's still plenty of time, viewers and listeners. If you want to get in contact, just write on the show page there. Everything is up there. It's easy peasy. You don't need to register, and we don't need your email address or your inside leg measurement for you to write a question. Just pop your first name if you are a young person in the top box and your question underneath observation or comment. If you want to ask a question, Rachel is here until 5 o'clock. And she'll really basically take any questions about any of her books. I think she'd quite honestly take any questions about anything. And we've got
anything.
We have some more questions as well. Now, I wonder if there is a backstory, Rachel, about the Queen. She's a particularly manipulative person, actually. I recognise quite
is.
A few... Hello. Is that the agent calling? There's another. I love it. I have to have the same sound when someone buys something from me. I think it's pretty good. Please don't worry. Usually it just shows it's live, folks. We are so not rehearsed or recording. It's completely live. There's usually a villain in stories as well, and she's a particularly horrible villain. So congratulations on that as well. Now, where did you get the inspiration for this character? Is there someone in your life like this? And do you know anyone with these characteristics, Rachel?
No, there's no one I personally know like this, because they wouldn't be in my friendship list for very long if I needed someone like this. I think I was possibly, older people might recognise it, inspired by Queenie from Blackadder. Queenie from Blackadder, but with a bit of a nasty kick to her. So Queenie from Blackadder is incredibly, she likes handing out punishments. And she's a lot softer though. She seems to be very pleasant, but she's nasty. So I cut away that bit. And this queen looks unpleasant as well as being unpleasant in terms of the way she acts. So I was kind of inspired a bit by that, and possibly a bit by the queen in Alice in Wonderland. Oh. Who shouts off with her head quite a lot. So I think it was a sort of culmination of nasty queens all coming together, which made my queen. So, but no one I know is quite that horrible.
I'd forgotten how brutal most of these nursery stories really are. When you got off with the head, kind of thought, that's a bit. But no, when you kind of think about it, my goodness, there's plenty of it around, isn't there?
Yeah.
That kind of nastiness.
Kids can take a lot of darkness. They really can.
I think it should be reflective and appropriate. And it's got a lovely ending, which we will not spoil for you folks. It's absolutely a delightful book. Really good. Maria, you've got another question there.
Thank you very much, Russell. Now, Rachel, we'd like to ask you, where do you like to write as an author? Do you have a specific place, or can you write anywhere? Where do these ideas come from?
Ideas come from anywhere. I could be walking the dog or lying in bed or eating. ideas can come from absolutely anywhere. When I write, I try to carry a notebook and do sketches and things, but never really works. So I have lots of empty notebooks that never get touched, because I think it's what an author should do. But I don't. So instead, I hold all my ideas in my head. And then when I get to my desk, they tend to just come out straight away. I either do a mind map at my desk, I teach my kids in my workshops that creativity doesn't work in straight lines. So when you come up with ideas, mind maps is a really good way of getting ideas down. But quite often I just start writing and the ideas pop up. They almost kind of make each other. So as I start writing, one idea creates another idea, which creates another idea, which makes a whole mess that I have to then sort out. But it's a great way of sparking ideas. But I always write at my desk, office.
That sounds wonderful. I mean, it's such a wonderful idea and a bit of a, you know, advice for our young listeners, you know, that, you know, to really be free with your ideas, you know, find out where they go. If you've got an idea, change it. If not, go somewhere else. I mean, I just think it's wonderful, Russell.
And we're wondering, Rachel, what other advice you might have for our young writers who like to write? What else could you suggest to them?
Well, it depends what part of the writing they're up to. If they're looking for ideas, ideas can be absolutely anywhere. And I'm going to give it away to the nation now. My trick of working out stories is basically to use opposites. So if you have, a boy who is brave, he has to find himself in a situation where he isn't brave in order to find out who he really is. So that's a situation. Or perhaps if you just see a tree, which looks like a beautiful part of nature, you could just say to yourself, okay, what if it was the opposite? What if it wasn't natural? What if it was actually not a good thing to have a tree there? Why would that be? So you start off with opposites and then you keep asking questions. But why? But why? But why? And I'm going to give it away. In book two of Mort the Meek, there is a woman called the Wise Woman who is called that, not because she is wise, but she keeps asking the question why. And very similarly, she gets to the answer of things, not by being wise, but asking why all the time. And if you keep asking why, you can actually extract a story from it. So I would suggest to kids to find ideas, look in the newspaper, look around you, look at a headline in a newspaper, and then try and turn it around, make it the opposite, and then start asking why and getting the question. You be a detective, you're a detective, basically a policeman trying to get the story out.
Lovely.
So that's what I would suggest, but I have many suggestions, so
no,
it would take
indeed.
Up the
I think that was an exclusive for us here at learnradio.net, folks. Book two, we'll ask you about that a little later on. It's published a little later on in the year, and we'll ask you a specific question about that. Maria, you've got another question there, I think.
Thank you, Russell. I love that advice, and I love the play on word, the wise woman. I never worry when people say why. In fact, I do ask why all the time. I've got with my husband, I can only ask 5 questions in a row, because otherwise it just it's a bit like Macaulay Culkin in
film.
I can ask a succession of questions. That's absolutely wonderful. Now,
well, look, it's also it's also my pet thing. Kids need to ask questions. All you kids out there, you have to ask questions. You need to feed your curiosity and stimulate your curiosity. And it's a really big theme of mine that I love to explore, which I've done in other books as well. So asking why is not annoying. It is necessary. Sorry, and now
actually,
continue.
Absolutely. I think that's really important. I mean, I was part of a senior leadership team and we had one colleague who would constantly ask why. Why are we doing that? We've always done it, but why? You know, and I think as adults, we don't want to ask the wise question, but actually in order to become wise, you need to ask the why question.
You do.
That's it. I shall tell my husband now. Rachel said I'm allowed to ask as many questions as I like. Fabulous. Yeah. Thank you very much. Now, Rachel, can we ask you, if you could have any job in the world, I know you're a writer, what would you do if you could be anybody?
I'd be a writer. I'm doing my dream job. But when I was younger, I wanted to be an actress. So if I wasn't a writer, then I would love to be a stage actress. I love theatre. So in a way, I'm doing that anyway. I'm actually just writing the plays. And when I'm writing them, I'm also acting them in my head. So I'm doing the best of all worlds for me here. Really.
Oh, that's wonderful. Live your dream. Live your dream, Russell. Yeah. It's really important, isn't it?
Absolutely. We'd always say do that as well. Now, I've had a quick look now. So the next adventure, it's another adventure that's coming out on the 6th of January next year, folks. You'll have to wait till after Christmas for that as well. What What apart from the wise woman? Let that out. Oops, hope the publisher's not listening.
I'm sorry about my puns. My
not
puns
a problem
are just
as well.
Awful.
What else can we expect from that? Will it pick up from where we're leaving off here, or is it a new dynamic on the book?
It's a new. Well, the Britannia, I'm afraid to say, hasn't changed a lot. There's not any executions on, you know, off with their head stuff, but the Queen is still in charge, and this time the Queen has discovered that she's actually descended from a family of gods. So her head has got bigger and bigger, and she wants more and more adulation and praise. So she sends off anyone who's willing in Britannia has to go off to. They have to go out to sea and try and find her trinkets and trophies, anything that's decent for a queen who is also a god. She wants to fill her castle with trinkets. So everyone's off on this journey to try and find trophies. But Mort is off to try and find his father and his twin brother and sister who've gone missing at sea. So he uses the excuse to take a boat out to sea to look for his family, except his teammate is Punky Mason, who is a nasty piece of work. She's a rock crusher's daughter, and she basically wants to crush Mort throughout the whole thing. She's fisticuffs, and you know, Mort's finding it very hard to cope. But yeah, there's sea monsters, there's dancing lobsters, there's punk music. I think we know where that comes from Punky Mason. It's just a complete melange of silliness, but I really, really like this story. Actually, I really like it. So, yeah, I hope everyone will enjoy it.
This sounds like a theatre show. This is something that I would definitely go and watch. Punky Mason with some punky music.
Yeah, I'm. You know, if Tim Minchin is out there, yes. I'm really hoping this. You know, musical. You know, it could overtake Matilda at the theatres. I know it could. So.
Lovely.
You heard it here first. That would
you
be wonderful.
Did indeed. It's a cracking, and thank you so much indeed. Folks, there's still plenty of time to connect with us on our show. We are on for another 26 minutes until our live show finishes as well. So get onto the Padlets there as well. It's easy peasy. I noticed they've updated the Padlets. They've got nice rounded corners this term as well. So look out for those gorgeously, nicely rounded corners there. We just need your first name in the first box and then your question, observation, or shout out request below, and we'll read that out live into the show. We are chatting after our next music track again with the fabulous Rachel, and today's title is Mort the Meek, I have to say, and the Raven's Revenge. It's a cracking title. We've had a reading from it. Be able to listen to that again after our show if you want. Don't forget the text numbers are up and available. If you wanted to text us, you can text us again. Everything is up and running. 078600 26400. And if you want to email us, learnradio@andertontiger.com, or you can tweet us at Learn Radio Live. Here's a music track inspired by the show, I have to say. It's a cracking one. I love this one as well. Just amazing.
You're listening to LearnRadio.net with Maria Wojciechowska-Kanida and Russell Prue.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favourite social media channels. Head over to Facebook now and hit the like button.
Oh, we love a like button, everyone. It's easy peasy. Just get on there. Find us on Facebook. We are Learn Radio Live. It couldn't be any easier than that. And that was the cracking song as well. Love that Europe final count. One more music track still to go as well. And thank you so much for your comments. We were just having a quick meander through our viewers. And we've got a cracking audience today. So hello to our viewer in Morocco. Hello. I don't think we've ever had one. We're waiting.
Hello.
What do we say in Morocco? Are we trying to think of the language there? Moroccan?
Maybe they can let us know. They can
Let us know. Why don't you get in contact? Yeah. We know you're there as well. And we've got two viewers in America. Good afternoon, Mr. President. Hello. Thank you so much indeed for listening to our and watching our fabulous show. And someone on the Eastern Seaboard as well. So hello to you as well. And wherever you are, do get in contact. Let us know where you are listening from. We absolutely love it when you get in contact to us. Maria, what do we have on the Padlets already?
Thank you very much, Russell. Now, Matty, who's the publisher, has got in touch. We love Mort. That reading had us laughing out loud. Absolutely. Us too. Now, she says, they say, We hope readers everywhere enjoy it, and the dancing lobsters in book two are the best. In capital letters, Russell. The best. The dancing lobsters. I'm really looking forward to
that. We need more about that. We need to know more about the dancing lobsters. Now if the book publisher has mentioned the dancing lobsters, what can you tell us about the dancing lobsters, Rachel?
Well, I don't know if I should tell you any more. They're lobsters that dance.
Okay, that'll do. Thank you so much.
But they have, they have an uncertain future, let's just say, as dancers and existentially. But I don't want to give too much away.
No, the lobster bisque is proving enduring, I have to say. But for us vegetarians, I have to say that's not going to be on the menu there as well. Looking through the list, folks, still plenty of time to get in contact with us. Easy peasy. We'd love to read your shout outs. As it's 18 minutes to 5, 18 more minutes of this and loads more questions to get through as well. Maria, you've got another question there.
Thank you very much, Russell. Now, Rachel, you've got some great learning resources. Thank you so much. And as a teacher, I know how important it is, you know, that that we can access this, because it's coming from you. It's coming from supportive colleagues as well. Now, could you just talk through some of the ideas that you've got?
It didn't come from me. It's done by an incredible teacher called Scott Evans, who is also known as the Reader Teacher. And he provided the resources because he loved Bort. I hope that's why he did it. He loved Mort. And it's available on the Little Tiger website. So Little Tiger is the publishing company. And so the resource is available there. But they are so creative. He's done such an incredible job. He covers different things, sort of creatively looking at it, and literacy and comprehension. But he suggests lots of things, like making news broadcasts about what's just happened on the island. And drawing pictures as well. There's just something for everyone there, for all types of learners and for all levels of learners. So I really, really recommend checking those out.
Thank you. One of the ones that I particularly liked was the literacy. And today is a very special day, isn't it, Russell? What day
is it? Absolutely. It's International Literacy Day. What have you been doing to celebrate that, Rachel? What have you been doing?
I've been tweeting a lot. I've been on social media promoting literacy. I've been across Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and all these different things, trying to be groovy, you know. So it's really, really important to me just to get kids reading. I think in times where we're uncertain world with everything that's going on, critical thinking is a really important thing, to be able to look at a situation, observe it and reflect on it and analyze it. And that's what books and stories teach us to do. I think we walk through life reacting to things, but if you learn to look at a situation in a book and why somebody has reacted that way, why somebody has reflected and changed their mind and become a better person or chosen a different path, that all helps our own critical thinking. And I think it's really important for kids to be able to do that. And stories is the most pain-free way of learning it, I think, because it's also entertainment.
Lovely.
That's why for me literacy is important.
Yeah. Brilliant. And we're celebrating that with viewers in Morocco, I have to say, specially arranged for our international. I've just seen a couple of other viewers have popped up in Spain as well. Buenas tardes to you as well. And thank you so much indeed for joining us. Wow, we are truly across the planet. Obviously the publisher have got connections everywhere. Now, do you have plans, Rachel, for visits this term? It's been a tricky 19 months for lots of us who normally go into schools, or are they all virtual? Are you going into libraries or anything at the moment?
I would prefer to go into schools. I don't have anything booked in for this term, actually. I've just been quite lazy and I've been writing a lot. But I am free for visits, so anyone can get in contact with me. But I will do virtual, but I prefer going in, because then you're there and getting the reaction from the kids and interacting with them directly. And I find that really rewarding and a lot easier. So very, very happy to do that.
Brilliant. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Good. All the details on the page. I've also put a link to Rachel's YouTube channel, which is absolutely a delight as well. Lots of great readings, and she's just absolutely amazing on there as well. And there's also a link through to Rachel's website as well. Maria, you've got another question there.
Thank you very much, Russell. Yes, your YouTube channel and your channel is just absolutely wonderful. There's a gorgeous animation there by your illustrator. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, the animation is... Yes. Is actually by a friend of mine who's also a brilliant, I'm not saying I'm brilliant, but also a brilliant author called Gareth P. Jones. And he is hilarious. His books, I would recommend to everyone. He does picture books right up to YA, and they are just delightful and so beautifully written. Anyway, that's enough plugging him. He did the trailer for me, but he used the illustrations, which were done by George Ermos, who did an incredible job, didn't he? They were just such incredible illustrations. But Gareth P. Jones put them all together and did the music, I think, as well, because he composes quite a lot. So I'm very lucky. I have very creative friends who can help me out. So, yeah.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because Gareth is a friend of the show. We've had him on last term and he was absolutely wonderful. So that's great that you've been able to plug him a little bit more. Yeah, wonderful. Well, do you think you'll be doing some more about Mort the Meek on your channel?
Yeah, I haven't actually done it on my YouTube channel. I haven't done anything for about a year, probably. I started it in lockdown last year and then got carried away with writing my own projects again and was probably a little bit too relaxed in doing stuff for kids. But I will get back to it and I will do some Mort stuff. I'll do stuff for Mort 2, which is The Monstrous Quest, which comes out in January. And I've got other books coming out too. So yeah, I will certainly get back to it. Yeah.
That sounds very exciting. Now, Russell, we're also interested in another of Rachel's title, aren't we?
We are indeed. But just before I come to that, Casey's been in contact as well. Long-term Casey. Listener of, I know, and known by our author as well. Hi, Casey says, some Mini Club members are watching. We'll give them all a wave, actually. Hello to Mini Club members as well. They say hi to Rachel, and there's a lovely googly eyes on the Padlet there as well. They're reading Mort to a new member today. How lovely is that? Someone that's got a copy of the book and
thank you
thoroughly.
Thank you.
Oh, that's so nice. That is really, it means a lot to us. It means we've really got through and folks are enjoying it as well. So thanks so much, Casey, for making us your go-to show today as well. Now, you've also written a series of books called Jim Reaper, Rachel. And I wonder if you could just tell our listeners a little about that series. They're probably stacked there behind you. Are they? They've got a red cover. They're going to be handy. No, I know. You're pretty good. Go on, give us a quick flash of those.
Here's the second one. Can you see that?
Yes.
That's
yes.
Second one. That's called Saving Granny Maggot. The third one I've got up here, that's called The Glove of Death. And the first one, I don't have to hand, but that's called Son of Grimm. Jim Reaper's the first series that I have published, so it's very special to me. And it's about a boy who discovers that his father is not Terry Wimple, the accountant, but actually is the Grim Reaper. So he discovers that his dad is death. Not a horrible death. He's only in charge of natural deaths in Greater London. But it's how Jim gets caught up in his father's business. And also being a boy wants to have a scooter and, you know, impress the girl and also save his friend's granny from dying. You know, it's a whole mishmash of adventures that happen when death is involved. Very, very fond of this series, yes. I really hope people still read them.
I love it. I think it's absolutely great. I mean, nothing surprises me anymore. We've gone from exploding toilets with grandparents in caravans to all manner of stuff as well. I love it. But only in London. In charge of the... Yes, but only natural deaths in London. I love it. The clarification wasn't lost on us at all, I have to say. Thank you so much indeed. Folks, we're coming to another music break now. It's just 10 minutes to go onto the show. Last chance to get your posts into the show. Easy peasy. Just head to that show page there as well. If you want to tweet us something as well, we've just picked up some new followers as well. If you want to get in contact with us, easy peasy, just hashtag us After School Book Club and we'll pick that up. And whilst you are writing away, folks, we would love to play you our next music track. There's a bit of boat action in the show, so I couldn't resist this one on there as well. This is Nathan Evans. Just imagine the boat bobbing around in the sea around Brutalia.
You're listening to LearnRadio.net with Maria Wojciechowska-Kanida and Russell Prue.
Hey, now, hear this. Get into school radio for less. The Anderton Tiger Hub. AndertonTiger.com/hub. Feel the power.
This is LearnRadio.net. A radio station project created to reach educators and young people at home and school during the COVID crisis. Bringing you a broad range of cross-curricular topics, author readings and fun activities to fill your week. Our shows are free to air, although we do have some premium content that's available for purchase. We have yoga breathing exercises and some poetry classes for sale. Visit our shop to find out more. You can also book us for an afternoon live radio show for your school, or hire us for your care home to help connect residents and their families with a live show. LearnRadio.net is powered by Enterton Tiger, who also design and make radio stations for schools. Find out more about Russell's work at EntertonTiger.com. You're listening to Maria and Russell. This is the After School Book Club on LearnRadio.net.
So is, folks, 6 minutes to five. I have to say, we're having a thrilling afternoon. Absolutely loving this. That was Nathan Evans. Absolutely love this one. We've got another question there for Rachel.
Thank you very much, Russell. Now, Rachel, if you can tell us, what are you working on right now? Is there a book three for Mort, or are you working on something different?
I'm not working on a book three just yet. I hope maybe one day there'll be a book three, but I'm just working on a couple of little projects and tidying up a book called Day of the Whale, which is going to be out in April or May next year, which is not funny at all. It's not a funny book. It's a drama, and it's also about kids who aren't allowed to ask questions. So as I say, there's a theme that's running through it. So yeah, that's Day of the Whale in May. And I've just written a new manuscript, which I hope my agent will like. We'll see. And yeah, just jotting down some ideas for some future works at the moment. So yeah, just quite busy.
Thank you. And do you spend most of your, you know, the day working, or do you write at night, or how many hours a day do you write? Or do you suppose it depends on where the ideas come?
Well, it does depend on the ideas. I will sit here all day, but some days I will write nothing, and other days I will write through the night. So when I wrote Day of the Whale, the first draft I wrote in a week, which is 60,000 words.
Wow.
I know, and I didn't sleep, and I didn't eat, got very hangry, but it all came in a big rush, so I had to get it out. But other times, it might take me 6 months to write something, so every day is different, but one thing remains the same, and that is that I'll come and sit at my desk and hope that inspiration will strike me. So yeah, I generally write all day, and also help the family business, so yeah.
You don't have any snacks of choice while you're writing?
Snacks of choice? No, I will find myself drifting into the kitchen and then opening the fridge and then face planting whatever's in there. So a snack could be grapes, or it could be cheese, or it could be, you know, I don't know, leftover curry. Who knows? I like to live dangerously, so you know, I will not plan out my snacks.
Well, I think we've done a lot of dangerously already this afternoon. We've given so much away, folks. This author is in so much trouble, listeners, viewers. Stiff letters coming through the post very, very soon. Rachel, it's been a blast and a half. We've absolutely loved having you. Stay there for a little longer, if you don't mind. We're just going to rattle through some extra learning opportunities. Folks, we always provide our viewers and listeners with some extra activities to go forth and enjoy. And we'll make these available on the website just as soon as we can. Maria, what do we have for our fabulous viewers and listeners this week?
Thank you, Russell. So if you like investigating, you could investigate what sort of birds normally inhabit islands. You could identify the species and genus, and you could draw them.
Cracking
but maybe
idea.
You are an inventor. What could you do, Russell?
Excellent. Well, you could invent some new excuses for Mort to use to try and convince folks that he is as brutal as he'd like to be and not a pacifist. So when you get into the book, you'll find that he's a real good excuse maker. Well, we'd like you to create some more excuses. Get right in on the character. Now, if you're a communicator, Maria, what could we suggest there?
Yes, you could make a holiday destination advert for Brutalia. You might like to record it as a radio advert, and you can share it on the Padlet, and we'll broadcast it next time. That would be wonderful.
I really wish
you were here.
I wish you were here. Excellent. Come and enjoy the fabulous starvation. Come and lose some weight as well. I love it as well. Nothing to eat. I love it. Now, if you are into collaborating with folks, why don't you work with some friends to create some new laws for Brutalia as well? And you could ensure that kindness and happiness prevail. So what laws would you need to create to make that happen? And also the appropriate punishment for that as well.
Punishment.
Perhaps a little sticker or something, that would be your punishment. That would be wholly appropriate. Now, if you're into creativity, Maria, what could we recommend there?
Yes, you could design a brand new harbour complex where ships could dock to bring holidaymakers to Britannia, and think about what needs to be in place to make this work. That sounds wonderful. Lots of designing you could do there.
Oh, I love
now, it. Now, we're very good at thinking and philosophy, Russell, as well on the show,
very
aren't we?
Very important as well. Very important. This comes from an output to reading as well. Now, think about the differences between a monarchy and a republic, if you can, and how countries are governed. Perhaps you could make a list out of pros and cons for each. I know I was doing that this afternoon during PMQs, but anyway, it's a great exercise, folks, for all of you to get stuck in there as well. Well, it's amazing. Thanks so much indeed for our fabulous guest who has been such great value. Rachel, you've been fabulous this afternoon. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been huge fun. Thanks so much for having me.
Bless you. It's been a real pleasure as well. It's really good. Folks, all of our shows are available as podcasts and videocasts, and we will get those to you just as soon as we can. If you want to enjoy the whole show with the music as well, you need to come back to the show page where you can read our listener comments as well. And that's where we will host the Mixcloud recording, which will include the music tracks there as well. Just head to learnradio.net/videocast if you'd like to find out all about that. Well, thanks so much indeed for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this afternoon's show. We have so much ourselves. Now, we're entirely self-funded. It's Maria and I putting our hands in our pockets, and we'd like to encourage you to make a small but meaningful, perhaps not so small, donation as well. Just go to the GoFundMe link at the bottom of the page there. Every penny you give us, and there's a running total at the bottom there, goes towards our ongoing running costs. So thanks so much indeed for supporting us. We really do appreciate that. You can make an anonymous donation if you don't want your name to appear on the list there as well. Now, Maria, who do we have next week for our lovely listeners?
Well, we've got the fabulous Chris Callahan. You will need to bring some chocolate next week because he will be reading from The Great Chocoplot. Who ate all the chocolate? That's a very good idea. Actually, I think I'm going to start using my whys then. Why?
Why? Well, it's good book. I loved it as well. You will need some. Now, of course, it's in that purple as well for a very clear reason as well. You're going to need some Cadbury chocolate. Now, there's a sponsorship opportunity. Should have remembered that as well. You're going to need some chocolate before you start reading this, folks, if you're going to get to it, because it's going to make you hungry. Thanks so much indeed to our lovely guest, Rachel, who's been absolutely fabulous. Thank you so much indeed, Rachel. We've really enjoyed having you. Until next week on the Book Club, folks, it's goodbye from her.
And it's goodbye from him.
That's the end of our live studio broadcast for the moment. Just before we put you back into our rolling program, please visit our website, learnradio.net, for all the live show details, and please follow us on Twitter at @LearnRadioLive. You can download any of our broadcasts as a podcast and subscribe to our feed so that you never miss another podcast. Just visit podcast.learnradio.net and subscribe using your favorite platform. We also videocast our shows, and you can watch them again by visiting our videocast menu at the top of our page or by going to learnradio.net/videocast. Enjoy our full archive of learning materials completely free of charge any time of the day. Just visit learnradio.net. We're entirely self-funded and rely on your kind donations for support. Please give generously to support our project. Find our GoFundMe link at the bottom of the page. Thanks for listening to LearnRadio.net. Live radio for learning.
By far my favorite station.
You're the best.
Oh yeah.
I love you guys.
This is Learn Radio Live.
Want to see some more of us? Head over and meet us on Instagram.